Well, go ahead and have a seat. Aren't these guys doing an amazing job this evening? Just can't say enough about just what an amazing difference that makes, and what even makes a greater difference is knowing their hearts and what they're here for. Over this Advent season, we have been preparing. We've been kind of leading up to this moment, this evening, this time when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Children will find it hard to sleep tonight, so the song tells us, because they're anticipating the opening of gifts and all of the fun that they'll have tomorrow. And it reminds us that Advent is a season of anticipation. We're here to anticipate and celebrate the Savior that's already come, and anticipate our Savior who will return. Throughout this Advent season, we here at Newbury Park First Christian, we've been asking this question. We've been teasing out this idea: what is all that you want for Christmas? What's everything that your heart desires? What are the things that your heart truly longs for this holiday season? I mean, not the toys and the technology, not the trinkets, and not the jewelry or the new clothes or things like that. Not even the cars that we see on TV that everybody so easily gives away. But what are the things that really are the longings of your heart? I mean, how many of you have had to sell something you got for Christmas one year in a garage sale? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. And the reality is that the stuff we get just doesn't last. But what are those things that deep down inside, deep down in our heart, that we know that we need, we know that we long for? And we've been talking about the reality that all we really want for Christmas is hope. All we really want for Christmas is joy and peace. This morning we talked about all that we wanted for Christmas was love. And tonight we talk about the center of Christmas, and all we really want for Christmas is Jesus. Jesus, that name that's above every name. And we're realizing God's amazing love for us as we realize what Jesus came for. You know, children, all children, they make Christmas lists. How many of you made Christmas lists as a child? Okay? Yeah, everybody does it. And now it's all high tech, right? Because you can go on, you can make an Amazon wish list, right? And it kind of makes it easy for parents. But the precursor to the Amazon wish list was this thing. Anybody remember this? Look at this picture. Remember that thing? Yeah, some of you remember. It's the Sears Catalog Christmas Wish Book, okay? And what we would do when we were kids is that we would take that book, and my mom and dad would give us a Sharpie, okay? And we each got different colors, and then I would go through the Christmas Wish Book, and I would circle the things that I wanted, and I would put a big K by them for Ken, right? And then my mom and dad could look at the wish book, and they go, okay, that's what Ken wants for Christmas. Now, I knew I wasn't going to get all of it because I circled pretty much everything. But at least my mom and dad would kind of have a clue as to what happens. And I don't know about you, but we still have lists. We still have all these things we want, and that was the old school Amazon wish list. But none of us are ever usually at a loss of things that we want for Christmas. But what is it that your heart truly longs for? We could all admit that Christmas seems to have gotten so commercialized. In fact, all the way back in 1965, the Coca-Cola Company, they commissioned and underwrote the creation of one of the best-loved Christmas movies. Anybody know what it is? It's Charlie Brown Christmas. And they commissioned it because they had a sense that commercialism was getting the best of us at Christmas time. And if you really watch the Charlie Brown Christmas, the whole theme of the movie is to tell us what Christmas was really all about, and that wasn't it about all the commercialism that sometimes people start to think it's all about. I mean, the movie was written to emphasize this reality that there was much more to Christmas. And as a culture, they thought we were forgetting the true meaning of Christmas. And in the movie, Charlie Brown, he likes Christmas, but he's kind of in a funk. In fact, just take a look at this.
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed.
Charlie Brown likes the presents. I mean, and who doesn't? He likes the tree, he likes the cards, he likes all the stuff surrounding Christmas, but he's still in this funk. He's still kind of depressed. And why is it? Well, obviously there's something missing. And so he goes to his favorite psychiatrist and pays his nickel. And she directs him to become the director of the school Christmas play, thinking that if he will go and put together and direct the Christmas play, that Charlie Brown will really find out what Christmas is all about. But what happens is he goes and he starts to direct the Christmas play, and at first it's a fiasco. Because everyone wants to do what they want to do, right? Everybody wants to put their spin on the whole Christmas thing. And so everybody's mad at each other, and then they're mad at Charlie Brown because he got the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. You remember the one, right? And everybody's angry with him, and finally Charlie Brown just kind of loses it. And then right as he loses it, the hero of the Charlie Brown Christmas show shows up, and it's Linus, okay? And many of you have probably seen this before, because it's shown every year since 1965, multiple times. But many of you who have watched this, you've probably watched it hundreds of times before. But there's something incredible that I discovered just recently about this one scene in the movie. Because if you know anything about Peanuts, you know that Linus is one of the main characters, Charlie Brown's best friend. But Linus has something that he always carries with him. What is it? Yeah, he carries his blanket. And you know why he carries his blanket? Yeah, it's his security blanket. Now in reading stuff, it's probably because his sister Lucy has scared him to death about what's going on in the rest of the world. But he carries this security blanket. But in all of the Charlie Brown movies, not necessarily just the drawings, but in the movies, there's really only one scene where Linus ever drops his blanket. And I want you to watch the scene and notice when that happens.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Isn't that kind of a profound moment? The moment when the angels say, Fear not, he drops his blanket. I mean, isn't that amazing? This time when fear is gone, when his heart is filled with joy, he can drop all the things in life that he's trying to use to give himself security. And maybe, ultimately, if we can get the real meaning of Christmas right, we'll be able to drop our blankets too. You know, the things that we try to find security in. The things that we attempt to find our identity in. The things that we try to fill the holes in our hearts with. And if we can discover the true source of security, we can live without fear. And we can have real hope, real joy, real peace, and real love this Christmas. And I believe that that is all that God wants for you this Christmas, that you would experience what real hope is, what real peace is, what real joy is, and what real love is all about. As Linus reminds us, the angels proclaimed that first Christmas night. They said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." A Savior. A Savior has been born to you. I mean, when you're thinking about making your Christmas list up of all the things that you think that you need, have you ever wondered, have you ever pondered, have you ever stopped for a minute to think, what is it that you need saving from? Have you ever wondered? Have you ever put a Savior on your Christmas list? Have you ever stopped to ponder the reality that that is what we truly need the most? We need a Savior. The angel told Joseph not to be afraid because Mary, she really was telling the truth, that this baby really was the Son of God. She told Joseph that his name would be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Now, a lot has changed in our world since that Christmas night so long ago, but there are many things that haven't changed either. We put a man on the moon, but we still have racial tension. We have cell phones with amazing amounts of memory in them, but we can't save memories by curing things like dementia and Alzheimer's. We have all kinds of incredible transportation. Don't you think Mary and Joseph would have loved to have had a nice, easy train ride to Bethlehem instead of that walk or donkey ride? And yet we spend hours and hours of our lives in traffic. I mean, we have amazing life-saving advances in medicine, but we still have terrorists bent on taking lives. And maybe this Christmas, what you really wish for the most is that maybe that God would change some things. But do we really need the things to change on the outside, or do we mostly need the things to change on the inside? All I know is that most of us have some things that we think ought to change. I saw this great article about a little four-year-old boy in North Carolina. His name was Preston Barnett. And Preston, his mother took him to the mall to see Santa. And Santa asked Preston what he wanted the most for Christmas. And what was amazing was that Preston asked Santa, he said, "All I want for Christmas, Santa, is if you would pray with him for a two-month-old baby who was a family friend and who was in the hospital on life support." And here's the picture. In the middle of a mall where this little four-year-old leads Santa in a prayer that things would change this Christmas for a family who was desperate. And at this Christmas, as we celebrate that Christ has come, and that he has come to change, he's come to change our relationship with our Heavenly Father. He came to change our fear to hope and to have an eternity with him. He came to change our broken hearts into hearts filled with joy. He came to change our anxiety into peace. He came to change and fill our empty hearts with hearts full of love. And if you're longing for hope, for joy, for peace, and for real love, then what you're really searching for is the name that we've been proclaiming all evening long. It's really Jesus that you're looking for. And as we celebrate his birth tonight, well, we're reminded that while he has come once, that he's coming again. And when he comes again, everything will change. You see, and his second coming won't be anything like his first coming. The first time he came as the lamb. The second time he comes, he's going to come as the lion. The first time he came as a servant. The second time, when he comes again, he'll come as the king. When he came the first time, he came as a baby. When he comes again, he'll be a mighty ruler. When he came the first time, he came to die. When he comes again, the dead will rise. And the first time he came silently, not very many people knew. when he returns? Well, the Bible says that he'll come with a shout and with a trumpet blast, and everyone will know. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever." So we encourage each other with these words. Now I wonder when Jesus comes again, I wonder what he will shout. I wonder what that commanding shout will be. I like what Pastor Kyle Eidelman says. Maybe he'll shout. Maybe the words that Jesus will shout are the words, "No more. No more. No more Parkinson's. No more cancer. No more Alzheimer's. No more autism. No more leukemia. No more divorce. No more rejection. No more loneliness. No more pain meds. No more depression. No more casts, no more crutches, no more glasses, no more contacts, no more dentures, no more chemotherapy, no more radiation, no more needles, no more terrorist attacks, no more shootings, no more child abuse, no more rape, no more sex trafficking, no more porn addictions, no more alcoholism." Maybe he'll cry, "No more, no more acne, no more diabetes, no more obesity, no more body odor." Wouldn't that be nice? "No more shaving, no more waxing, no more plucking, no more diets, no more yelling, no more fighting, no more road rage, no more traffic." Praise God, no more traffic. "No more addictions, no more hormones, no more racial tension, no more news commentators, no more taxes, no more IRS, no more bills, no more debt, no more spankings." And all the children said amen. "No more doctor's offices, no more assisted living homes, no more funeral homes, no more caskets, no more cemeteries, no more courtrooms, no more orphanages, no more pink slips or foreclosure notices, no more hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, eruptions, or droughts. No more fear." We can drop our blankets. And if we will come to the manger at Christmas and recognize him for who he truly is, the Lord of the universe, the one who came to give his life for us, then we can live this life without those security blankets. Because he is our peace. Because he is our hope. Because he is our joy. And because he is the greatest demonstration of love. Because he gave his life so that we could live. He came to die so that we could have eternal life. You see, there's more to the story than a baby in a manger. And we can't leave him there, because he came to be Savior of the world. You see, hope has a name. The name is Jesus. And joy has a name. The name is Jesus. Peace has a name. And his name is Jesus. And love has a name. Say it with me. His name is Jesus. And Jesus has come to save us. His name is Jesus. It means God saves. His name was his mission, and he came to save you, and he came to save me, and he came to Bethlehem so long ago because you and I needed something. We needed a Savior. And because of the manger in Bethlehem, you have one. And he's come for you, and he's come to set us free. And he's come to say, "No more fear." Could you live without fear this Christmas? Then what you truly need is Jesus. Whatever you are in need of being saved from, the answer this Christmas is one name, and that name is Jesus. And every year at this Christmas season, at this particular service, we celebrate in the most peculiar way, is while we're celebrating an infant on one side, we celebrate the Lord's table on the other. And the Lord's table is, well, quite honestly, is a remembrance of his death. That little baby came and he grew into a man and he gave his life so that we could have eternal life. He came to set us free from all of the fears that that we could have. And he gave his life to do so. And so we invite you to come and to just celebrate. To celebrate his gift to you. His gift of hope in eternal life. Of joy unspeakable. Of peace with God and of love that's demonstrated around this table. And so you can take the little cracker that represents his broken body. And the cup of juice that represents his shed blood. And remember that he came to bring you hope. He came to bring you peace. He came to bring you joy. And he came to show you true love. And he came to cast out fear. So come and celebrate him this Christmas. And if you need saving from anything, remember all you need to know is one name. His name is Jesus. Amen. Well, let's pray, and then after we pray, you can come forward, and then as you take communion, you can take one of the little lights and then return to your seat, and then we'll give you some more instructions later. So let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the indescribable gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, that in him we find all that we need. That, Father, that what our hearts truly long for, whatever that may be, it's found in you. It's found in Jesus. Because you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the creator of all. And you are the deep lover of our souls. And we thank you this Christmas for your indescribable gift. The gift named Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen.